Hurry up, boy. The fun has only just begun.
Mr. Tall, the supposed brother of Edward Duo, smiled with the anticipation of an 8-year-old standing over an anthill with a magnifying glass. Luck looked forward to where he pointed. It was difficult to concentrate with the pain in his hand throbbing from the razor wire ball.
How about bugs? You like bugs, right, Alyssa?
Tall chuckled and placed his hands on Alyssa's shoulders. She let out a whimper of protest. It was clear from how much she began to shake that she was terrified.
No, please.
A hand covered her mouth, and Mr. Tall leaned down over the top of her.
It's your little brother's turn to pick.
Alyssa began to let out a muffled scream as trickles of blood further marred the white paint caked onto her face. The nails dug deeper still, and her screaming intensified.
Hurry up, Luck. I've waited far too long to have you delay my entertainment.
Seeing his sister in distress multiplied his rage, Luck reared his hand back despite the fear coursing through him and swung with everything he had at Mr. Tall. The clown made no effort to move. As his fist connected, it felt like all the force of the blow drained in an instant. A follow-up only gave the same result. A slender arm shot forward, grasping his head and lifted him up, as if he weighed no more than a chihuahua. He dangled helplessly on the verge of soiling himself. All that began crossing his mind was his neck breaking under the immense pressure of his own weight. He wanted to be stronger for his sister. He wanted to end this.
I believe in fair sport, but I can be inhospitable, just like Edward, if you like.
Blood began to pour down his face as the nails dug into his skull. It wasn't his own pain that bothered him as much as the screaming from his sister growing weaker by the second.
Sis, there's only one way out of here. We have to play the game. And then, maybe then, he'll let us leave.
The pressure released all at once, and he fell 4 feet, landing sideways on his ankle.
No. Choose.
The ominous voice that emanated from the monster clutching his sister shook his very core. He had to make a decision.
The mirrors. The mirrors, Taliesin, please, just let her go.
The lights surrounding the other two attractions promptly went black. Alyssa dropped to the ground, gasping as Taliesin took a step back and made a wave. Where there was only darkness before, there now was a group of silhouettes moving towards them. A marching band procession began as they drew closer. The group consisted of 2 women in flowing garbs along with a long-nosed goblin-like creature with a whip. There was a small tent on a trailer at the center of the group, being pulled by what he could only describe as a cross between a tiger and a polar bear, with an assortment of human faces grafted to the side of it, each of them howling in agony, almost in harmony with the music. It came to a halt in front of them, and the 2 women dragged Alyssa inside of the tent. Taliesin followed along without so much as a glance at him. His ankle was killing him. He needed to take this opportunity to get away, to get help. He made it to his feet to find himself face to face with Edward Duo, the more refined brother that didn't believe in fair game. Alyssa was sat in a familiar broken wooden chair across from an ovular full-length mirror. Her face was a mess of blood, tears, and powder. The 2 women set to work wiping her face and reapplying the makeup.
We wouldn't want our little star out of whack for her big part, now would we?
Mr. Tall's face appeared alongside her head. She winced, but was held steady as 2 hands held her firm to the chair.
Little Alyssa, I want you to look deep in this mirror. You're a lovely young woman.
She did her best to look away, but a large palm seized her chin and twisted it back. She could taste his fetid breath as his face drew closer still to her ear.
Pay attention now. I'm giving you the key to your survival.
Her eyes interlocked with the mirror. It was her, sure enough, but inside there was no longer Mr. Tall, but a velvet room.
Self-reflection will guide you through this challenge. Whether you accept the things you find as true will determine your survival.
She felt a strong push that sent her forward forcefully, smashing through the mirror. Her arms were stinging with multiple lacerations the mirror fragments caused. She found that she was now in that velvet room, empty save a single black door. There wasn't anything of particular interest about it. It seemed too ordinary, actually. Nothing in this place was ordinary, and that was suspicious enough in its own right. She granted her to tend to the large pieces of glass that were sticking from her arm. None of them were life-threatening, thankfully. "Damn it, Luck. What kind of place is this? Why did you come here?" The unanswered questions and the death of her father and friend began weighing heavily on her. She reached out to open the door. The knob was cold to the touch. So much so that the blood on her skin clung to it, as with that neighborhood dumbass that put his tongue on the light pole in winter. She pulled the door open and winced as she peeled her hand off the knob. Another mirror. This time it wasn't a velvet room, but a Christmas-themed living room in a house she barely recognized. A little girl staring back at her. Her grandmother, who had long passed, sat on a sofa pointing to a peppermint-colored package with an overly large red bow christening the top. She reached out to touch the mirror. The girl in the reflection did the same in kind. As their fingers came together, icicles began forming along the edges of the glass, and then suddenly cut into her wrist with a spike. She tried to pull away, but it felt as if her skin was stuck to it. She felt hands wrap around her midsection and pull her back. They both fell to the ground.
"What are you doing over here, Alyssa? It's time to open the presents."
A calm, warm voice spoke to her. She turned and saw that she was now in the very same house from so long ago. Looking down at her arm, she saw she was much smaller, maybe 9 or 10. Her grandmother gave that welcoming smile she remembered so well. There were cookies waiting on the small end table, and Grandma patted the spot next to her as she lowered herself back onto the sofa. She sat and reached for a cookie almost instinctively. Everything told her not to eat it, but it felt like she had little control over what was happening, like her lesser instincts drove her hand. The macadamia was euphoric in every way. Everything felt so real. Every warm touch, delicious taste. Even the soft Frosty the Snowman jingle playing on the television eased her troubled mind from the horrors of where she had been.
"Michael Allegrand Sanchez, you hurry the hell up! Your daughter is waiting to open presents!"
Alyssa's father came in quickly.
Sorry, Mom. Had to get Luck's diaper changed."
Grandma gave a disapproving nod that only one's mother knows how to connect so well.
"That boy is almost 4. You should have had him potty trained by now."
Michael knew better than to talk back and only gave a light sigh before setting a very young Luck on the ground in front of the tree.
"Where is that wife of yours?"
Michael rubbed the top of his head.
"She should be back any minute, Mom. Don't worry. Why don't we let the kids open your gifts while she's out?"
He reached down and picked up the peppermint box, handing it to Alyssa on the sofa. She felt an overwhelming rush of excitement and began ripping the packaging off. Her heart was pounding out of her chest as she took the lid off. A scream of delight escaped her lips as she began pulling out the blendy pen set. She could hardly contain herself as she tore into the small coloring book featuring pony friends.
"I knew you would enjoy that, Chica."
Her grandma smiled warmly at her and bent over to plant a kiss in the middle of her forehead.
"It's my favorite, Abuela."
Her dad was sitting with Luck and opening a small sky blue box with clouds haphazardly placed along it. There was a large plastic harmonica inside. Luck imitated his father and blew into the many holes, cooing sweetly in delight as he made his own musical masterpiece. The door opened and a woman walked in.
"I've got the ham!"
Alyssa was too busy enjoying her pony to pay much attention. She couldn't have been happier.
"Hey there, are you ready to open some more presents?"
She looked up to see a woman she didn't recognize standing in front of her.
Who are you?"
The sweet look of Miranda turned to one of anguish.
"What are you talking about, Alyssa? I'm Mommy."
She bent over and hugged her with affection.
You aren't my Mommy." She pulled away and hid behind her grandmother.
"Cut that shit, Alyssa, or I'll toss the rest of your presents."
Michael grabbed her arm and pulled her off of her feet.
"You apologize or it's time out now."
She looked over to the woman now crying as she looked back at her.
"I'm sorry, Mommy."
Miranda wiped her eyes on her sleeve and walked over, squeezing Alyssa tightly. The rest of the day proved wonderful.
She lost herself and her pony book and even got two dolls. Daddy forced her to eat all of her vegetables, but that wasn't so bad since she got to play an extra hour after bedtime. She was so tired that she fell asleep completely at ease. Grandma came to wake her up.
Buenos dias, chica. Ready to see what Santa brought?
Confusion washed over her.
But Grandma, Christmas was yesterday.
She smiled warmly.
You must have had a wonderful dream. Come on.
She crawled out from her blanket and put on the pink bunny slippers her mother had bought her for her birthday. She entered the kitchen to see that strange woman from before who claimed to be her mom.
There's my little girl. I made your favorite for breakfast.
Two confetti pancakes, a maple sausage, and a small cup of honey sat on the side of the table. Her father was reading a paper and had an empty plate and a coffee mug in front of him. Luck was laid across the living room sofa sleeping. She could see the same peppermint box she was eager to open yesterday, neatly wrapped and garnished with the same ribbon. Was it really Christmas again? She couldn't help to think that she was forgetting something, but every time she tried to remember, her head began to grow all fuzzy again. After breakfast, the not-mom said she was going out to pick up dinner, and the rest of them gathered on the couch and switched on the television. A Christmas special or two later, she found herself looking at the curious dresser with the oval mirror off to the side of the living room. It didn't feel like it belonged for some reason, and it made her very uneasy. She thought she saw a flash and decided to investigate. When she got to the mirror, she saw that it did not reflect her image. There was only a blank, flat, silvery color that lined its surface. A pair of hands picked her up by the waist and sat her back on the couch. The cookies sat next to her, warm and inviting. She couldn't help but satiate herself with another bite. She opened her box again and received the same blendy pen and pony book.
"What's wrong? I thought it was your favorite," Grandma said, placing an arm around her shoulder. "It is, Abuela. It's just something isn't right."
The door opened and that woman walked in. She knew she had seen her before, but couldn't place it. She relived that same day 4 more times before finally confronting her.
"Where is my mommy? You aren't my mommy!" Miranda began to sob, and Michael pulled off his belt.
She ran for her room and closed the door to lock it.
"Open this door right now, Alyssa. You apologize to your mother."
"That isn't Mom, and you know it!"
The lock began to turn. She wasn't very strong, but she could hold it.
"That isn't her, Dad. Something isn't right. This is the 6th time we had Christmas."
The door began to bulge in as someone slammed on the other side.
"Have you been taking your mother's pills or something, Alyssa? Open this door now. You're already in enough trouble."
The banging suddenly stopped, and she heard her father screaming before a silence overtook the house. A knife suddenly broke through part of the door, and her hand began fumbling around for the knob. Alyssa dove into her closet and threw her Barbie blanket over her.
"Come on out, Alyssa. Mommy's got a surprise for you."
The door was cracked just enough that she saw the woman walk over and bend down to look under the bed, stabbing out just before lowering her head. She started making her way towards the closet. Should she run? She was so scared, she couldn't control her breathing at all as this imposter closed in. The blanket was over her head now, and she did her best to go as deep into the closet as possible. A hand yanked the blanket away, causing light to flood back in. It was Miranda, her stepmom. Now she remembered. A slash and a warm blood began running across her left arm. She screamed in pain and darted around Miranda, who made for an overhead stab and just narrowly missed her. She made it as far as the door when the sharp pain of her hair yanking her back took her off of her feet. Miranda smiled at her and then plunged the knife into her neck. She gasped a moment before the world grew dark.
"Time to get up, chica."
Grandma was standing at the doorway again. Alyssa screamed, and Michael and Miranda both entered.
"What's wrong, baby? What's wrong?"
Looking at Miranda, she instinctively backed as far as she could to get away from her. Grandma walked over and tried to placate her, but Alyssa couldn't stop shaking, and the tears wouldn't stop. Miranda looked deeply hurt and began to cry herself before turning and running out of the room. A moment later, there was a gunshot, and Michael fell to the floor. Grandma turned only to meet the barrel of a snub nose, and subsequently was splattered across Alyssa.
Alyssa tried to move, but a loud gun clap and a sharp pain in her leg sent her sprawling to the floor. Miranda walked up to her and pressed the barrel to her head.
Why couldn't you ever accept me?
She awoke again to her grandmother, welcoming her to a happy holiday. Her favorite breakfast was waiting for her, although by this point she was sick of it. Miranda smiled at her. That bitch. Did she like tormenting her? The events took place as usual. The mirror that didn't reflect anything still made her feel uneasy. Miranda returned, and Alyssa played her role as a loving daughter. The day repeated, and repeated, and repeated. Until one day, the mirror flashed and she ritualistically looked into its non-reflective surface. Only this time she saw, "Remove what doesn't belong." It was clear she needed to get rid of Miranda, but how? The next morning, she snuck a knife and waited until Miranda was about to leave for dinner. She plunged the blade into her back. She was beaten ferociously by her father and locked in her bedroom. Sirens blazed and she eventually passed out to awaken to that same Christmas morning. This time, she tried getting into the bedroom to find her dad's revolver. Michael reminded her she wasn't allowed in there and locked the door. Miranda caught her the second day, and her grandma pointed her out the third. She decided to set a small diversion by placing a lit candle in her closet and waiting for Miranda to leave. A fire broke out that set the house in a scramble. She hurried into the room but didn't find it in time and was beaten for being so careless with fire. The next time she searched, she found it. It was hidden away in the top drawer of the dresser, inside of a large Bible that had been hollowed out. Of course, Grandma went looking for her and found her. She got another ass-whooping, especially for finding her father's firearm. The next reset, Miranda came home, and she convinced them all to play hide-and-seek with her. She would be the only one they'd need to find, and she promised to eat all of her vegetables if they played. Miranda eagerly agreed, and that won the support of her dad. Grandma took Luck to the bathroom for a diaper change. The two of them began the countdown from 20. The world almost seemed to move in slow motion as she ran to her task. Passing by the mirror, she saw a woman looking down at her. She seemed familiar, even though she was some kind of clown. It took her attention for 5 counts, and she raced for the revolver. Grandma had just come out of the bathroom as she stepped out of the room. She let out a scream, alerting the other two. Alyssa aimed the revolver at Miranda, but shot far left as Grandma grabbed her arm. She struggled against her and managed to free her arm, but the revolver was wrenched from her hand. The next attempt left her heart racing as she saved those 5 extra seconds to beat her grandmother out of the bathroom. Unfortunately, she still managed to get wrestled to the ground from behind. After 3 more attempts, she resolved herself to do the unthinkable. This time, she spent 10 of the 20 countdowns looking at the clown woman. She seemed so sad. This time, she waited for her grandmother to leave the bathroom and shot her in the chest. The house was in an uproar. She began to shake as the adrenaline hit her anew, but this was the only way out. She turned the corner to her father, who was closing in quickly. She re-steadied her aim and hit him just below the left eye. Finally, it was Miranda's turn. She was holding a phone and frantically trying to dial. 2-digit tones, and she lay in a heap on the floor. Luck was crying next to her, and the windows outside flashed red. The mirror began flashing a bright white, and she pulled herself to face the woman, who reached towards her. She found herself stumbling back and collapsing on top of her grandmother once more. She had lost. The day played out the same. She locked herself in the bathroom and cried herself hoarse. Now she remembered everything. But how was she supposed to escape? Miranda was the piece that didn't belong. She was sure of it. She tried her hide-and-seek escapade once more. It went off flawlessly. Everyone save Luck was a crumpled heap. The mirror flashed once more, and she saw her older self staring back at her. This time, she raised the revolver under her own chin and pulled the trigger. She sat in a deafening blackness for what felt like days. When next she opened her eyes, she was in the velvet room again. Mr. Tall was sitting in a dingy wooden chair at its center.
Took you long enough. Have to say, though, you kept me entertained. Guess it's my turn, then.
He raised himself to full height and started towards her. She backed all the way to the wall.
Get out of the way.
She saw that the black door was behind her and moved to the side, her heart beating out of her chest. He didn't pay her a second look, only opened the door and stepped through the mirror seamlessly. She quickly shut the door and began taking in large gulps of air to help alleviate her panic. The chair now held an aged brown leather-bound book with a clasp tightly sealing it. It had Taliesin Duo stamped across the front. The first entry was dated 1920.
Me and Edward ran away from home today. He said we were going to go work at the carnival. They didn't care that we were underage, and we wouldn't have to deal with our deadbeat dad anymore. I'm worried about Edward, though. He wouldn't let me say goodbye, and just told me to pack my things. He smells a lot like that deer we skinned last summer. I told him he needed to at least wait until morning, so he could heat up a bath. He laughed it off, and the next thing I knew, we were on the road.
The next entry was dated a few days later.
Ran into a gentleman by the name of...
The name was scratched out and illegible.
Told us not to worry. We would definitely have a place at the carnival. We'd have to commit everything to it, though. But in exchange, we'd be able to live the life of a lifetime at the best carnival to ever exist. We said yes, of course. And we're working the very next morning. Edward got put on the hot dog stand, and I was in charge of the animals. I was told I wasn't old enough to handle the money yet, but could definitely help out with the large animals. I don't think the tiger likes me much, though.
There was a large burn mark on the next few pages. Only bits and pieces were legible. The next unmarked page read,
"There was a fire yesterday, and we had to close down for repairs."
Illegible.
Says we still have a place amongst the family, though. Thank God.
The journal stopped there. Alyssa felt like, in a way, she might have had a better understanding of Taliesin. She looked to the door a moment before staring around the velvet room barren. The option was clear. She stood and walked over to the door. Opening it, she stared into a ramshackle living room where a very large man in a wife-beater muscle shirt sat on an atrocious-looking couch. Stuffing overflowed from the cushions, and springs were exposed on one side of it.
"Go on, get me another beer, Taliesin. Now."
He reached a muscular arm to scratch the chest where a bright yellow mustard stain caught her eye. A teenage boy, maybe 14, ran in with a beer bottle and an opener. He began fidgeting with the top.
"Hurry the hell up. Get that radio on. Game should be starting soon."
He presented the bottle, which was snatched from his hand.
"Get another one ready, while you're at it."
Taliesin switched on the radio, which started blaring with cheers and what she thought was a baseball game. After the third beer or so, Edward came through the door into the living room, taking off a Burger Boy Garrison cap.
"Where the hell you been, boy?"
Edward let out a large sigh.
"You know I work on Saturdays, Dad." The man pulled himself to his feet. He had a very athletic build to him, despite his disheveled appearance and apparent deadbeat lifestyle.
"You just blow hot air at me, boy? Think you pay the bills around here?"
Edward pulled his shoulders back.
"I am the one paying the bills, Dad. Or have you forgotten that you don't have a job anymore?"
Taliesin could see it in his brother's face. He knew he had screwed up bad.
"No, Dad. Please."
He pleaded for him to stop as the father produced a Camillus double edge from his pocket.
"Think you're a grown man, huh, boy? Just do and say whatever the hell you want."
Edward bolted back through the door, and his father started after him. Taliesin made a grab to stop him, but he was thrown to the ground with a strong push. Alyssa watched as Taliesin picked himself back up and produced the very same blade his father had been carrying. Somehow he managed to snatch it. There was a commotion and the two brothers came back. Edward had a fair amount of bruises and both of them were covered in blood.
"Thanks for saving my ass, Taliesin. That bastard had it coming."
Edward sat on the couch, physically exhausted. "No idea what we're gonna do with the body." Taliesin stepped up behind him.
"Don't worry about it,"
he said in a very familiar voice and drugged the knife deep into Edward's throat. He looked over to the small mirror on the wall where she was staring back and smiled before thrusting the blade deep into his neck. An unnatural force threw her back, and she was in the room with Mr. Tall again.
Truth was, we all die that day. Even if our death was only metaphorical.
He bent down and picked up the journal.
Very well. I'll give you a pass.
He stepped over to the door once more and opened it, gave a small bow to Beckoner. She entered a small surgical theater. Two rows of chairs sat terraced, viewing a room where Julie was strapped naked to a table. Luck was blindfolded and handcuffed to a rail in the back of the room. Edward sat beside Julie, prodding her breast with a small scalpel to elicit a scream every few moments.
Implants at your age?
Luck kept yelling for him to stop, and it only seemed to exacerbate Edward's actions more.
Finally made it, did you? I've got the next game all set up, Taliesin.
All right, Alyssa. Choice is easy enough, I hope. Julie here has been hiding something from you. Something that took a bit of coaxing to learn. Luck is going to fish it out for you. No way around that much, I'm afraid. The question is, which implementation will he be using? We have a dinner fork, this slightly dulled scalpel, or my camelus.
Really, Edward? Again, with the executions?
Edward placed a leg on top of the table holding Julia and leaned back.
It's my turn, Taliesin, and besides, she could survive if he's fast enough.
Mr. Tall walked to the glass.
Really? She can survive after being sliced open with a dinner fork?
Edward began to laugh hysterically at the inquiry. Very well, I'll throw in the whole dinner set.
Julie screamed so loud, her voice started to crack.
You have to give me more time to prepare, but if you really want, I'll swap Julie for Brad or Miranda for you.
Julie began begging for her to pick someone else.
So quick to throw anyone but themselves on the table. But I understand survival well.
Luck will have all three of these implementations at his disposal. I've placed detonation devices inside of all three of them.
You took too long, honestly. I got bored. Luck has a chance of saving them, if he solves my little game. I still think the choice is easy, personally. But I know something that you don't yet. Oh, and by the way, whoever you don't pick gets to join you in the viewing room.
Dear listeners, it's time for you to decide who will go under the blade in a race to remove whatever secrets Edward had in store for Luck's challenge. Should she leave Julie on the table? Edward claims there is a secret she's been hiding from her. Try to save Brad, the annoying but reliable friend that wants to be more? Place Miranda on the table, her stepmother, who she never really accepted.